As I look out over the congregation tonight, I see many people who are very, very young. I see some people that are a little bit older than those very, very young people. But I wonder if somebody were to take the age of everybody here, each person here, and add it all together, I wonder how many years there would be represented here tonight. It'd be a lot of years, I think. It'd be a lot of years. You know, with every one of those years was a birthday. With every one of them was a birthday. And probably not with every one of them, but once in a while in a person's life, they get a birthday party. I can remember a few of my birthday parties and some of the wild gifts that I was given. Matter of fact, the year that I went to Oregon Bible College, a friend of mine on my 21st birthday gave me a bottle of booze and a cigarette lighter. I didn't know what I was going to use it for when I got to OBC. But they figured that since you're an adult, those are the things you need. Well, anyway, people have birthday parties. For instance, maybe on their 10th birthday, maybe somebody when they're 10 years old has a birthday party because that's, you know, number 10. You know, that's a good age, so a birthday party. Well, maybe when they become 13 or perhaps 16 and, you know, the sweet 16 title. Maybe they have a birthday party and invite all their friends because their sweet 16 birthday party. Maybe it's their 21st birthday party, as I told you about mine. Someone gave me some certain things for my birthday because I was an adult now. Perhaps the 25th birthday, someone has a party, you know, silver, you know, 25. The 30th, the 39th. And I wonder how many of you would truthfully say to me that you've had your 39th birthday more than once. I see a few honest people. I think that was Jack Benny's age for a long, 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 long time. But I guess I shouldn't tell it on my mother-in-law because she's not here right now. But she keeps telling everybody she's 39 all the time. And I know she's gone over that by a couple of years, but she still tells everybody that she's 39. But you know, birthday parties are really special. It's a lot of fun. You get gifts. You laugh, sing, carry on, have a good time. Games, being around one another. But there's also another kind of a party that I'm thinking about tonight. This one is called the going away party. How many of you have ever had a going away party given for you? Oh, come on now. Okay. Did you ever wonder when it was given to you if it was because they were sad to see you leave or if it was they were happy to see you leave? Well, that's kind of the way I felt when I went to Oregon Bible College and my friends gave me a going away party because the things they gave me and so forth, I thought, well, maybe they're happy to see me go. But you may be wondering, what have birthday parties and going away parties got to do with this time of year, this pre-Easter season? What does it have to do with it? It has something to do with it because a certain person in the Bible, whom many of us know personally, had that birthday party and that going away party. Not in the sense that we would think of, perhaps, but he had both of those. A birthday party and a going away party. Turn with me, if you will, to the first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25, telling about the birth of Jesus Christ. I am reading from the New American Standard Bible tonight. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Here we have it, the miracle birth of Jesus Christ. The miracle birth of Jesus Christ. You know, Christ's birth was planned. It's obvious when we read the scriptures. His birth was planned by God. It was planned that Mary would be found with child, not of man, but by the word of God, Mary being found of a child. A miracle birth, a miracle child. Can you just imagine how Joseph must have felt when the woman that he was to marry was pregnant? Before he was told by the angel what was going on, can you imagine what went through his mind? The frustrations, the anxiety, he was dumbfounded. He actually had to be dumbfounded when he found her to be pregnant before they had even been married. The Son of God is what he was to be. The angel told him that this was to be the Son of God, not to fret, not to worry, that the child that Mary was carrying was to be the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Verse 21 says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." He shall save his people from their sins. Joseph must have realized then how important this child was to be, what this child was to carry out through his life as he grew to be an adult. Joseph must have felt very, very privileged to be a part of this great plan that God had set forth. Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2 and 11. Matthew 2, 1 and 2 and 11. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For he saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him.'" And then verse 11, "And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." Here we have the birthday party of Jesus Christ. On the day of his birth, he was given gifts. It was a glorious day. This was what I call the birthday party of Jesus Christ. On the day of his birth, he was given great gifts of wealth by these wise men, by these three men that came, opening up their treasures, giving to the Lord, giving to him treasures of such great wealth that they were fit for only a king. That they were fit for only a king. It was a very, very, very happy occasion. The angels rejoiced. The Son of God was born at last. It was a very happy day when the Son of God was born. A star shone down where he lay. We remember the stories that we hear most of the time during Christmas about the birth of Christ and how that the star shone overhead and that the sheep and so forth. And here he was lying in a manger, a beautiful child wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, here he was, Christ's birthday party. It was such a happy occasion. Smiles on faces, gifts of great wealth were given, a very happy occasion. So we see here that Christ himself was given a birthday party. He was welcomed into this world and given these great gifts. Christ then, from childhood, grew to be a man. But Christ wasn't just like every other man. No. Christ had greater compassion for his fellow man than any other man on earth could possibly have. Christ loved his fellow man with a greater love than any other had. We're told in the Bible of the many different things that Christ did, the things that Christ performed while he was on this earth during his ministry. We're told how that he loved God dearly. It shows us in the Bible because of the many times that he prayed to God in the time in the garden before he was taken to be crucified. He was praying to God, asking for strength. We're told that Jesus Christ, during his ministry, healed the lame. For instance, the man with the withered hand. Many other cases where Christ himself healed the lame. He gave sight to the blind, something that others weren't doing at the time. He was giving sight to the blind, healing those people who were sick. He raised the dead, as it was the case with Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days. And Christ raised him again to life. Christ also fed the hungry. There were many people that were hungry. And we hear of the stories and read of the stories in the Bible by the sea, the fishes and the loaves, when Christ fed the people. But most important, Jesus Christ forgave sinners. He forgave them of their sins. But you know, even after all this, one day on down the line, a few days later, a few weeks, whatever it was from the time when he fed the people by the sea, for his great, his wonderful, his loving deeds, the people decided to give him a going away party. Even though Christ himself didn't want it, I guess you could say they threw him a surprise going away party. Even after all he had done, the miracles he had performed, the love that he had displayed and shown, the compassion that he gave, they still decided to give him a going away party. Yeah, it was settled. They were going to give him one. It had been planned. Judas took part in it. There were many people involved. This was a very special occasion, a great going away party that thousands of people would be involved in. Well, you know, during this going away party that they gave to Christ, there were many things that happened, many things that were done. And as is true in most every party, going away party, birthday party, there were games, there was fun, there was laughter. Plenty of it. It was a great time. The people were having a wonderful time at this going away party of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 27. 27th chapter of Matthew, starting with the 27th verse. There are several verses here I want to read tonight. Matthew 27:27. Telling about this going away party that they threw for Jesus Christ. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman court around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand. And they kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took his robe off and put his garments on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they were coming out, they found a certain Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink, mingled with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him at that spot. And they put up above his head the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And those who were passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads, and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And then verses 45 and 46. "Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Here we have it. The going away party that was given to Jesus Christ. They took Christ. They came to him in the garden shortly after Judas had gone, sold him out for a handful of money, as you remember we talked about last night. Sold him out for a handful of money. The men came while the disciples were sleeping, and they took Jesus Christ and they led him back before the high priest. The high priest judged him and found him guilty of blasphemy. Then he decided to take him and send him to Pilate because they wanted him to be judged of the law of the land, out of which Pilate would be the one to judge. One of the first things that happened to Christ in this game that the people were playing. Thanks to Pastor Bender, we have an illustration here. Can you imagine being beaten to something like that? You know, this is probably a little smoother finish than what would have been used on Christ. It was probably really rough leather. More than likely had bone chips into the ends of it, or jagged metal. I doubt if it was really this smooth. I'm not trying to put down the illustration that you have made. But it was really terrible. And they beat him. And they beat him. And they beat him. Loving every minute of it. That's what he was getting. A going away party that he didn't really want. And for what? For the love and compassion that he had for people. They beat him. And beat him until he bled severely. And what does it say that they did to him then? They gave him a purple robe. They put a purple robe upon him after they'd taken his clothes off of him. And then they put a crown on him. And they walked him around, laughing at him, spitting on him, laughing at him, having a gay old time at this going away party that they were giving for Jesus. And while they were doing this to him, the blood on the wounds in his back began to dry. And the purple robe began to stick to the flesh, just like a bandage does to a wound. When we've burnt ourselves or when we've cut ourselves and we have a bandage over it, especially one when you've skinned yourself. And that's just what that leather strap did to his body. It just actually stripped the flesh from the bone. And then this purple robe in the heat, and with him perspiring, the salt going into the wounds, then it drying, sticking the robe to it like a bandage. Then they platted a crown, the one gift that they gave him to take with him, the one that he could keep, a crown of thorns. They took this crown of thorns and they jammed it down over his head. Can you imagine it being pushed into the skull, being jammed into over the eyebrows, the temples, the back of the head, the ears, bleeding severely? Those thorns would have been very dry during that warm weather. Would have been very dry, very hard, so they would have mashed in and went in deeper that way. That's what they did to him. They gave him a purple robe and gave him a crown that was supposed to be fit for a king in a big game, as they saw it at this going away party for Jesus Christ. Later, they decided to put his own garments back on him. And what did they do? They took the purple robe and they jerked it off of his back. Literally pulled it off of him. Have you ever had a band-aid on a pretty sore spot and had to take it off? And if you didn't keep it under the warm water to try to peel it off a little bit at a time, it just really hurt. Or maybe mom says, 1, 2, 3, go. I remember my mom doing that. It bleeds all over again. We've got to put another band-aid on it. That's what was happening to Christ. But this wasn't just a little band-aid. This was his whole back that this robe had dried to and then was bleeding again because they ripped it from his back, opening the wounds once again. Pastor Bender and I was talking today about the things that happened to Christ before he was hung on the cross. And we both agreed that that was probably the cruelest thing that they did to him. The roughest thing to forego was when that robe was pulled off of his back after being beaten like that. They gave him a crown to carry with him. They took the robe off from him, the purple robe, and they put his clothes back on him. They had led him back and forth between Pilate and Herod, back to Pilate. This thing was done to him. And then, in all their fun and games and this wonderful going away party, they laughed and laughed and laughed. Why, they laughed so hard that they laughed Jesus Christ clear out of town. You've heard the expression being laughed out of town. Well, that's just what happened to Christ. He was laughed clear out of town, right up the hill called the place of the skull or Golgotha. He was laughed right out of town. And there, they gave him something else. Another gift was given to him as a going away gift. There they gave him his own cross. Another gift that was given to him, his own cross. There they took a large wooden cross, perhaps larger than this one. They had it put together. They had it there and ready. After Christ carried it there himself, they had it there. The place was ready for mounting. And then they took three large spikes, perhaps larger than these, blunter than these actually are. And there they placed Christ on the cross, and they took his right hand and they put a nail right through his wrists. They drove him into the spike, and they drove him into the spike until Christ hung there on the cross with his right hand. They drove in the spike into his left hand. They drove that spike. And there was Christ with his hands nailed to those wooden beams. But that wasn't enough. They had to do more to Christ for his going away party. He was somebody special. So they drove one through his feet. The pain and agony that he had already been through, and then have to carry his own cross, and then to be nailed to it. Quite a going away party, huh? That's just what it was. Because everyone else was having fun, Christ was the only one that wasn't enjoying it a bit. There, they put a sign on the head of the cross, signifying who this was. King of the Jews. Signifying who he was. And then darkness fell over the land. Darkness fell over the land. And verse 50 tells us, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, a very loving and compassionate man, was dead. This is the very same Jesus who at his birth was welcomed into this world and given great treasures of wealth because he was to be a king. They gave him great treasures of wealth because he was somebody special. At his birthday party, they gave him a lot. They welcomed him into this world. This is the very same Jesus dying on the cross as the last and ultimate blood sacrifice, a sacrifice for sins. And this is the very same Jesus whose name is taken in vain today and used very, very loosely today. We hear it and see it all the time. The very same Jesus whom people will not accept as a true and living Savior, will not accept him as a life-saving person. The very same Jesus that won't believe that he can give life, that very same Jesus. Just as the people laughed at him and put him down at that time, people are doing it today. The Jews wanted Christ to be put down. They wanted him to be hung on the cross. They wanted him to be forgotten. They wanted him to be dead. Well, they had part of their wish. Christ was dead. They gave him his going away party, and Christ was then dead. Matthew 27, verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." You might ask, why do you read that after you've already talked about Christ being hung on the cross and Christ dead? Because it shows that the people at that time wanted to do away with Christ, wanted nothing to do with Christ except to give him his going away party and see to it that he was dead. And you know what? Many Jews and many people, even here in our own country, feel the same way about Christ today as they felt about Christ at that time. There's a book that I'm thinking of that many of you have heard about by now, The Passover Plot. OBC wrote a paper and sent it out to different ministers, I believe, telling about the book Passover Plot and how that Jesus Christ was a man who was of the Charles Manson order, who took some type of drug to feign death on the cross. When he was hung on the cross, this drug was to help him to endure this pain. Then they would take him down thinking he was dead and put him in a tomb, and then he could raise up again. And they believed that in this book that Jesus Christ, this is what happened. But he wasn't expecting the Romans to be quite so smart and pierce his side with a spear. So 3 days later, when he finally came out from under this drug that he had taken, he walked out of the tomb on his own accord, his own strength, his own power. And then days later, died of the wound in the side that he wasn't expecting to receive. People today believe these things about Jesus Christ. And I am told that this book was written by a Jewish person, so we can understand more about why it was written. But it's not just the Jewish nation, the people there that believe that Christ didn't really exist as a Son of God and a Savior. It's not just the Jewish people who don't accept Christ for what he went through on the cross. Why, there's people right here in this community, I'm sure. There's people in nearly every community that won't accept, that don't believe, that aren't appreciative of what Christ went through when he hung there on that cross and all that pain and agony. Why should people believe such things? Why should they believe such things when it has been proven that the accounts in the Bible, the stories that are told, many things within the Bible, it has been proven that they are true? The authenticity of it should not be questioned because it has been proven. And this book, the Bible, was written of men who were godly men, who were of a very reliable source, because they were godly men. They were inspired of God to write these words. Then it was compiled and placed now as our book, books of the Bible. Here we have it. Jesus Christ, who was welcomed into the world like a king, given great treasures of wealth fit for a king. And Jesus Christ, who through his life had nothing, so that he might be free to preach the gospel and to preach love and to have compassion upon all peoples. Here we have that Christ who was escorted then out of this life because the people just didn't want him. They couldn't accept the good things that he represented. Yes, he was escorted out of this life, given that going away party. And what did they give him as great gifts at his going away party when they escorted him out? There it is. Merely a crown and a cross. A crown and a cross. A crown and a cross for a king, for the Son of God. Some really great gifts to be given to you for a going away present, isn't it? But that's what he received, and that's all he received. Christ went through all of this for a great reason. It wasn't in vain. He went through it for a reason. He went through it so that we would have a way to have our sins forgiven, that we would have a way into salvation. So let's not be afraid or embarrassed or ashamed to accept him as a personal Savior within our own personal lives. He gave his life, even into death, for us. Why can't we today give him our life in life? During our closing song, we'd like to offer the invitation tonight. If you haven't accepted Christ, this very same Jesus who suffered so severely on the cross, if you haven't accepted Him, the truth of Him and His love and His cleansing blood to be covering your sins, we ask you to do so tonight. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. We ask you to give of yourselves tonight.